Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin.
Dr. Kyle Ford, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, KJ.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Ford. We're very excited to have you on. I know we've been talking for a while. And real quick, Dr. Ford, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ottumwa, Iowa.
That's right. Yes, we're super excited to have dentists from all over the country on the show. And I don't know how many we've had on from Iowa. So this is going to be something fun, something new. We're very excited to talk to Dr. Kyle Ford today. My name is KJ Eichsted. This is Confessions from a Dental Lab, the show that takes you beneath the surface, right to the source. So together through these episodes, we can all get a little bit better. And we're going to switch it up today. We're going to start off with the lightning round where I ask Dr. Ford a couple quick hitter questions. He gives us some short answers, helps everyone get to know him a little better. And then we'll dive into some more dental questions after that. So Dr. Ford, right off the bat, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food is actually ham balls and cheesy potatoes.
Sounds interesting. What's a musical artist you've been listening to a lot this year?
One of them would be Maverick City Music.
Okay. What's the first app you open up in the morning?
The first app?
Yes.
My alarm app.
Okay. Turn it off. What's a good book you've read?
The Bible is the best one, hands down. But if we're just going with a normal book, I'm actually reading through this series with my son. I can't even remember exactly what it's called, actually. I'll have to ask my wife that one. But it's these couple of kids who find these scrolls in their uncle's attic, and it's basically the Dead Sea Scrolls is what they are. But in this book, they kind of have this quality to them that takes them back to that time and relive those events. And the angel, I think Michael, kind of guides them through these times, and they kind of relive some of these Bible stories. It's a pretty cool little adventure series to read with young kids.
Yeah, it sounds super interesting just hearing you describe it. You're making me think of National Treasure a little bit, kind of how Nicolas Cage like finds the thing in his grandpa's attic or whatever he does. And
yes, exactly. It's pretty neat. It's pretty fun. My son's totally into it. He's almost six.
Yeah, you definitely got to get us that name. That'll be interesting. What's a favorite movie and a favorite show you have?
Oh man, one of my favorite movies is Extreme Days. Not a very well known movie, but it's hilarious. Came out in the early 2000s, I think. Has a great soundtrack. Toby Mac's song "Extreme Days" actually, I think it was kind of made for the movie. And then a show that I'm currently into. Well, I grew up playing the Halo series of video games. So I've been watching that show on, I actually have this app called VidAngel where you can kind of filter shows and you can take out like swear words and everything. And I watch it through that because it just makes it a lot easier for me to watch.
You know, I watched the first two episodes of that on a plane one time and it was intriguing. I never played the games growing up, but, everyone's heard of them. And, maybe I'll talk to you a little bit more about that off air here. What about this? What's a favorite class you've taken? Could be, elementary school, could be dental school, could be anywhere in between.
Is organic chemistry a weird one to say?
I mean, it's different for everybody. So that's absolutely a great answer. What about this? What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas, hands down. I love Christmas.
Yeah, it's a great one. Apple Music or Spotify?
Spotify.
What's the next place you'd like to go on vacation?
Africa. African safari.
Okay. And if you could start or pursue any charity, what would it be?
Giving orphans dental care.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, really appreciate you sharing all that. I think the audience now has a better idea of, who Dr. Ford is. And we're gonna keep expanding on this. Dr. Ford, how long have you been practicing dentistry? And could you tell us a little bit more about your dental journey?
Yeah. I pulled my first tooth in 2014. that was at a free event for free dental care for people. And I was I was not licensed yet, but at this free event, at this charity thing we were at, my dentist took me to, we were allowed to kind of get our hands dirty a little bit, and actually pulled my first tooth then and sutured it up. I'd been watching it all day in the surgery clinic. I assisted with surgery, and it was a phenomenal experience, and man, it got me hooked on surgery right away. So that was a really, really cool thing to be a part of. If anybody can ever be, partake in any of those events where you give out free dental care, and you're able to give back to a community somewhere, it's a huge blessing to those people who need it. And, it's a huge blessing to you too. I mean, I don't know who gets blessed more, the people serving or the people receiving. It truly was a cool experience, but I graduated dental school in 2018. So, it'll be 6 years here in May that I've officially been licensed, to actually do that.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's, and then where did you end up going to school?
The University of Iowa is where I went.
Oh, great. Yeah. Pretty no, school. That's
go Hawks.
Yeah. We hear a lot of really good stuff about that school in particular. It's so interesting just kind of hearing all these journeys. Next question. What's one X factor that separates you from other dentists? You could take it any direction you'd like.
Oh man. I truly feel I've got God's blessing in hand on my life. I mean, there's not much that can separate me from anybody else, especially in the dental realm. I mean, so many dentists out there are so intelligent. They're so smart. I had some classmates who could read through a chapter and just have the whole thing memorized from reading it once. That's not me. That's never been me. But you know, my God has brought me through and truly blessed me a ton. And I feel that's the only advantage I have. I really don't think I could do anything without him. And he's put in me a care and attention to detail that, you know, all of us dentists have. I might take it to the extreme sometimes, and I think it really, really gets under my assistant's skin sometimes from how much of a perfectionist I am, especially, you know, in dentistry when hardly anything's ever absolutely perfect. But we definitely try our best to achieve that. And I probably spend a lot more time on things and with patients than I need to. But yeah, I hope hopefully that answers your question.
No, I appreciate you sharing. And it's so interesting because it's very similar on the lab side, right? Like there's a lot of perfectionists over here. I know our owner, he came from a ceramics background and he does this unbelievable work. You know, he's been doing ceramics for over 20 years, but he told me there's only like a select few cases he really, 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 you know, felt like amazing about. And I'm like Frank, right. You know, like so many people compliment your work all the time. And I think that's one of those things that is synonymous with the dental industry as a whole is just like, you know, wanting to chase perfection. And it's really interesting, you know, we're in Wisconsin right now. There's that one really famous Vince Lombardi quote. He said something about, if you chase perfection, you can catch excellence. And, you know, going back to just doing things the right way, controlling what you can control. Yes. One of those things is just being on the details, whether it's a dentist, whether it's an assistant, whether it's being a lab or anything in between. So I really appreciate you kind of sharing that because, yeah, no, it all matters. What about this? What's one thing your patients have taught you over the years?
Oh, man. One thing. That's a tough one. That's really a tough one. And, you know, I think just I will always be surprised by something, I think, is what I would learn. And that goes both good and bad. People will, I think, always continue to shock me in both good and bad ways. That's definitely something that I'm learning.
As much as you want to share, would you mind elaborating on maybe something recently that was a maybe like a pleasant surprise or maybe like an unpleasant surprise, or as much as you'd like to share? I think it's always fun to have like some examples in there.
Yeah, you know, everything from you do a full mouth rehab and the person seems really excited for it, And at the end, sometimes they're just kind of like, eh, you know, like you can't really tell. Like, are you excited? Are you not excited? They're just kind of bland about it. And then maybe you hear later from a family member something how excited they were about it and how happy they were. But well, like you had no idea. And if you hadn't heard it from them, you would have thought, boy, I must have screwed something up because they definitely didn't show it. Or you'll have the person who you're really nervous, like you, they're going to be like a perfectionist themselves. And you're just so nervous, you think they're going to hate everything. And they end up crying. They're so happy. And it like really surprises you. They didn't have like a 10-minute session of picking it apart and wanting to change things, you know?
Yeah, no, I've definitely heard that as a theme, I would say, in some of these interviews. It's just like never really assume because you never really know. And whether that's like, you know, proposing certain solutions or stuff like that, you never really know. And I think it's always good to just, just go with the best you can. And how about this? Speaking of the best you can, how important is it to work with a good dental lab, and why is that so important for dentists?
It's huge. It's huge. I talk about that kind of anxiety of having the restorations back and putting it in the patient's mouth for them to see, especially on those big cases. The ones you're real worried about how the person's going to react. And if anything's wrong, you know, if you got some open margins here or there, which, you know, normally is, that's normally a team effort to screw that up. So that's not just a lab's fault, but it's definitely a team effort. But if you know, something's just not quite how you communicated it or how you thought you tried to communicate it and the patient's not happy and then things got to go back and they're pressing you to get things done and you just feel that stress of it. So working with a lab who, you know, you can communicate with well, so you know who you're working with, that's important. There's so many labs out there that outsource things, and you don't even know who's making your restorations. You don't even know who's doing what. It's someone different every time. You can tell because you get a different material, like wax-ups. You get a different type of wax every time you get something back, and you can tell there's a different artist behind it every time. You don't know what happened there. And then, you know, come to find out that lab outsources that part to some other country where you can't even talk to the technician, and that makes it very, very, very difficult. I think communication is key. And when you can't even have the option of that communication, that can make things extremely challenging and frustrating. And it's hard to know sometimes as a dentist, cause some people like to try to hide that. And so it's hard to almost find out when certain labs are doing that. So I think communication is very key, and having a good lab is a lot more stress taken out of your life if you have a good lab.
And that is just,
you have that consistent result, consistency.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off what you're saying, like, I mean, talk about the dental industry, talk about the labs, talk about anything, right? Like, subtracting stress is something that I think a lot of people would like.
Exactly.
And, you know, It is really so important. Another thing you hit on was the communication aspect, because we tell all the dentists, we love having them come in and tour the lab. And you're in Iowa, so you're not terribly far, but if you ever wanted to come and tour the lab, we'd love to show you. We'd love to give you a personal tour, because we say we can show you so much better than we can tell you. And it allows you to really ask those, you know, in-depth questions right to the source that we try and bring and shine through right on this podcast. But when we're giving those tours, because oftentimes I'll be giving them, I like to say to dentists, like, hey, you know, pick up the phone and just give us a call. We'd love to help you. And like, we've all been there where we've maybe written a really long email. We've read it over like 3-5 times, make sure we don't have any typos or make sure it makes sense and stuff like that. And next thing you know, you're spending 30 to 45 minutes on this email that really, you know, if you pick up the phone and actually talk to your lab, going to your point about like offshore and where it's not even an option, you know, like you could get all these problems solved in like a minute or two. And then speaking of the value of adding, you know, subtracting stress of your life, like how much is the value of just like having 38 minutes instead of just like 40 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Like taking two minutes to solve a problem versus taking like 40 minutes to solve a problem. And it's really incredible. I think that is one of the biggest things any lab could do, is just like have people able to talk. And that's one of those things you really try to do a good job for with dentists. You know, speaking of just all these things, like you mentioned the offshoring, I know that's a trend that we're seeing. We'd recommend everyone to, you know, use a lab that's headquartered here in America. That's definitely, I would say, a plus. But speaking of the broader picture, you know, we touched on a trend there. What do you think the future of dentistry looks like 10 years from now?
That's a loaded question. You know, with the emergence of DSOs, which have their place, private practices are either becoming kind of conglomerate practices. You kind of rarely see anymore just a single office with one dentist. They're all kind of becoming group practices or boutique DSOs or, you know, there's Aspen's out there, Heartland owned. Insurance companies are just getting harder and harder to deal with, and with rising costs of everything, and insurance not reimbursing more or allowing more. I think there's a shift already where there's a lot bigger presence of DSOs and there's a lot bigger market for that. Students are coming out with a lot more debt than they used to. The stress of being a dentist isn't necessarily worth it, or getting to that point where that break-even point's not going to be worth it, from the amount of debt you have to go into just to become a dentist, let alone start a practice, and have a good paying job coming out of dental school that's willing to work with you and kind of help you train up those skills in your first few years, where DSOs obviously are totally willing to do that. So that's why I think they're growing so much, is it's just an easier way for students coming out afraid to pay off their debt, but they have this guarantee with DSOs and, are able to do that. So I think you'll see a shift where there's a lot more DSOs and a lot bigger presence, and this private practice is going to kind of dwindle a little bit. It'll still have its place and market, but I definitely think you'll start seeing that dwindle a lot more. And private practices will probably largely be out of network with insurance companies just because it's a stressful job. And I know myself, I want to pay my employees what I feel like they should be paid to handle all the stress of the day. And that's tough to do with being a network with insurances, but it's also tough for your patients because they want something that's financially feasible too. And in today's crazy inflation market, it's just getting harder for everybody. And I think a lot of industries are going to kind of see that breaking point where, you know, like some labs are shifting things offshore just for affordability, and because dentists are struggling with insurance rates, and I know I'm kind of rambling here, but
no, it's all relevant. Yeah,
just to kind of bring it back, you know, I did a scratch start practice here, and I'm in network with a lot of insurances, and I've already seen a few instances where I'm paying more in my lab fees than I get reimbursed for, like on dentures. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. So that's like a service that I continually debate. Do I even offer that? Because it's not beneficial, financially, as a business owner.
Yeah. I mean, that it makes so much sense. And I think I like how you tied it to like the broader economy a little bit in your answer. It certainly is like a challenging time. Like you said, there's certainly a lot of opportunity no matter what. Like there's been a rise of DSOs. At the same time, private practices always have their loyalty. They have their place in the market. It is challenging. There is a lot of debt, it seems, coming out of dental school based upon just feedback we've heard on the pod or in person. And it is challenging. I think that's the word that comes back, because you want to take care of your employees, right? You want to take care of your patients as well. But just like certain economic factors and other factors as well, it's certainly not any one thing, have made it a challenge. And I think, you know, I think expanding this our entire conversation is if there's any good news, is that humans have always been able to overcome challenges. And that's what's exciting. So we'll have to definitely check back sometime, see how everything progresses. I love asking that question just because it gets some really fascinating answers. Just piggybacking off that, is there any advice you would give to dentists to maximize success in 2024 and beyond? And furthermore, do you have any goals for the future you'd like to share?
Yeah. Success. So I think it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, the stress. By the end of the day, you're exhausted. And it's hard. I know as a single practice owner of a scratch start a couple of years ago myself, it's hard to find time to focus on certain aspects of the business to improve. But once you do improve those systems, it makes your life so much better, a lot more stress-free. I am not perfect by any means. I have so much I need to work on still and tweak and improve and get systems for. You know, the landscape of employees is constantly changing. Something I've done recently is outsource my my insurance. So all the insurance follow-up and claims and rejections and handling all that has been outsourced, and that's been a wonderful thing for me here lately. Because that was one door that kept revolving, just because it's a tough job. It's not easy to do. And having to constantly train someone on that just got tiring. It was too much for me. So that's been a huge thing that's helped me out a ton. But getting part of groups and networking and finding out who's doing what's working for them is key. If you live on an island, you're going to be miserable. I know something I'm a part of is the Dental Success Network, and I have learned so much from so many other doctors on there, and take advantage of so many of the discounts and deals that they have as being part of that network. Almost like being a private practice owner who has certain deals out there, similar to what a DSO can get. So it can really kind of help try to level the playing field. And that's been extremely financially beneficial for me, and what's allowed me to stay in network with some insurances, just by being a part of that network. And some goals for me would be to streamline more of my business. Definitely to get more systems down, get things more systemized, so my employees can kind of start running things without me, having that ability, and you know, taking more time to listen to my employees and hear their frustrations and try to course correct. That's something I definitely feel like I need to do a lot better of.
I think very, very relatable answers. You know, it sounds like you got a great thing going. It sounds like you care. And I think it's one of those things that really stuck out to me on a previous podcast we've had on. One of the dentists we interviewed was talking about how simply caring is the best marketing strategy. And that's one of the takeaways I had from this interview is you acknowledge the fact that not everything's perfect, something many of us can relate to, but the fact that we do care to really just provide the best service, the best solutions possible. So I really want to thank you for sharing that. Dr. Ford, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I'm with you there. Caring. That's the best thing you can do is be genuine. You know, if you care about the financials only and you care about the bottom line and that's your only thrive in your business, I'm not sure that's going to work out too well for you. I know I couldn't lay my head down at night and sleep well if I operated like that. I talk about, you know, the Lord's blessing in my life, and you know, I spend $0 in ad spend right now. It's all word of mouth. But that's a perk of being in Iowa, and you know, my town is like 26,000 here, so it's not huge, and I've purely relied on that, and I've got more work than I know what to do with. I actually need to hire another dentist at some point. I talked to a few people about it, but I haven't had any bites yet. But it's just crazy. It's crazy what can happen if you just genuinely care about people and you take the time. So many of my patients talk about how this has been such a different experience from them from anywhere else, just because of the time I took for them and actually seemed to explain things better to them and care. And I think that's something that's easy to get lost in the day-to-day of dentistry, and the trudge of it is, I got to get this next thing and this next thing, and this person's complaining and this person's complaining here, and this came back wrong, and we don't have this yet for this delivery, and this person's in pain for this reason, and you feel like you just got to go to the next. But if you just take a moment to just breathe, and just focus on what's right in front of you, and I got to take myself back to dental school sometimes, and the only thing I could do is literally focus on the very next test that was due, because we'd have, you know, 3-4 tests a week, exams, and you know, you couldn't focus on all of them. You'd drive yourself crazy. So I had a plan that I just focus on the very next one and just worry about that one, And that's how I stayed sane. And that's how I feel we need to kind of take a breath and remember that in the day to day, and show people that we are caring, and that can prove more successful than I think any marketing strategy you could have.
Dr. Ford, wise words. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for a great conversation. My name is KJ Eichstead. This has been another great episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. The easiest way to help the show is just text it to one other friend, you know, share it on Instagram, text it to someone, message it to someone. Together through these episodes, we can all get a little bit better and continue just providing that care-based service that helps everyone and makes the world a better place. So really want to thank Dr. Ford for coming on. And we'll catch you all next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.